Welcome back to another Chasing Tone podcast. I'm Brian, again this week with Blake Weiland from the Tone Mob podcast. Thanks again for coming back, Blake.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. I had such a good time before, and I'm literally, if you could see me, I'm smiling like a moron right now. I'm really happy.
I just can't get enough of you, dude. You know, I mean, I feel like we're brothers in a way, you know?
It does feel like we probably should hang out in real life, like, often.
Do you happen to have any, like, long-lost brothers that are, like, older and balding and thinner and blonder than you?
Because
I'm a pretty skinny dude. I'm, like, 150 pounds soaking wet or whatever.
Interesting.
You know? And I'm short, too. You're about my height, right?
You're taller than me, dude. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. At least an inch or two. I'm only 5'7".
What? Well, I'm like 5'8", so I tower over you, you know? Don't play basketball with me. I'll take you to school.
Man, I don't want you to... Brian, don't dunk on me again. Stop dunking on me. Please.
I can't do the dunk, but I could do a mean layup, man.
Oh, boy, man. You know what I got on you, though, is the skyhook.
Oh, yeah, you got me there. You beat me every time.
No, I won't, actually. I used to be decent at basketball, but now I have no depth perception and can't shoot a basket very well. So,
wow, that's lame. That sucks. But what you do have on me is that I'm old, and like you would wear me out after about 3 minutes and be like, break time. There's got to be a break. Sometime. We got to break.
I have no idea. Like, I'm not going to comment on your aerobic abilities. Hey. I've met some older guys that far outstrip me in the aerobic fitness department.
Far outstrip you?
Yes. Oh. I'm not even
touching that one, Blake. Not even touching it. Just saying.
I'm just leaving it there. I'm looking at it. It's tempting.
Okay, so, well, all right, let's...
Oh, boy.
That went way off the deep end, like, in the first 30 seconds.
Whew. If you thought for 1 second that by having me on this show that you were going to somehow keep this thing on topic, oh, boy, my listeners will tell you, you were sorely mistaken, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so just a bit of... Let me preface everything we're going to talk about with this. If you guys are not subscribed to the Tone Mob podcast, step number one, stop your car, pull over to the side of the road and press pause.
Wait, shouldn't they pull over before they stop their car?
See, this is why you're smarter than me. Pull over, then stop the car. Then go look up the Tone Mob podcast on whatever you subscribe to podcast to and subscribe to it because you guys will love it, really. Blake knows his stuff. He knows about effects. He's a great guy. Great podcast. Can't recommend it highly enough. With that said,
I'm blushing right now. Oh. Thanks, Brian.
Are you looking at a picture of me?
Yeah.
I figured. All right.
Anyway, what are we talking about?
All right. So what I wanted to ask you about, this is the question I got. Okay. The question I got from one of our people on the Wampler Tone Group. If you're on Facebook, look up Wampler Tone Group. And
that's
where we communicate much of the time. So the question goes like this. There's all these tiny pedals nowadays, obviously made with tiny components. How do you feel about them? Are they impossible to repair, basically making them disposable? Do the tiny components, like the caps and the pots, all combine to produce an inferior sounding pedal? Most of them are very low priced. How do they get the price that low, especially when they're making pedals like Analog Delay and Tremolo and etc.? So Blake, what's your thoughts? I have a gigantic opinion on this, obviously, making pedals that have surface mount parts. So what's your thoughts?
So I have a couple thoughts on it. First of all, like the tiny pedal, micro pedals, such as the wonderful Tumnus, The size doesn't really the size doesn't really matter to me that much.
My teenage self here is just like busting at the seams. But anyways, keep going ahead.
The size of it doesn't really matter to me that much. It's cool that it's small, but the small pedal with two patch cables in it is essentially the same size as a standard pedal, like with especially if it's got top mount jacks. So the size thing doesn't really matter to me that much. It's all about does it sound good or not. So basically, like the Tumnus sounds great. I really like my exotic EP booster. That's another small pedal that I think sounds fantastic. I have a Moleko fuzz that's, a tiny little fuzz pedal, and I bought it not because it was tiny, but because it sounded awesome. So that's my opinion on the actual small pedals themselves. Now, if you're talking about, SMD versus through-hole versus, point-to-point type of things, the fact of the matter is, now, I'm speaking about this like I've made a pedal before, which I haven't, but from doing my research, it's like this. Through-hole stuff is awesome. Point-to-point stuff is awesome. I love the craftsmanship involved. I think it's really, really cool. But the thing is, that stuff's kind of dying. Like, eventually, those components aren't going to be available anymore.
Funny thing you say that. It's not that eventually, it's that right now
Oh, really?
they're not there. That what you're seeing is new old stock.
Interesting. I don't
Yeah,
think I realized that.
so unless I mean, like if you're buying, okay, so for a portion of our audience, I'm going to lose them here. But if you're the guy building pedals, you're probably buying from Small Bear or DigiKey or Mouser or something like that. They still have parts. But if you're a company like us that buys like 100,000 of something, you're not buying them from Mouser. You're buying them from Panasonic, the company that makes the capacitors, right? And they're not that they don't make it anymore. They don't make them. So it puts us in a position like, okay, well then we have to now design around surface mount. So, but everything has to sound the same. And it has to function the same. It has to feel the same. It has to, like, all these different parameters, they all have to be the same. So there's a bit of an art to it. I mean, you have to know that, like, for example, you don't want a ceramic capacitor at the input because you can have problems. You can have microphonic problems. And so all my competitors are listening to this. There you go. There's your free hint for the day. No ceramic capacitors at the input, you'll have problems. But you have to know stuff like this. There's a good and a bad side. And I'm sorry for interrupting you here, but there's the good and bad side is that since there's so many other components that are now available that are only surface mount, it allows us to do so many more things. Where, like, okay, let's take for example the spin chip, and I'm not sure if you know what the spin chip is or not, but if
Yeah, the
you're,
FE one.
yeah, the FE1. So if you're a fan of like the Earthquaker stuff, then you're a fan of the spin chip. They do not make that in through hole. It is not made. You cannot buy it from the. You can't ask the manufacturer to make it in through hole. It's not going to happen unless you buy like 10 billion of them. It's not going to happen. So you're going to now start making surface mount stuff if you're going to use the spin chip. So I mean, there's things like that as well. So, I'm totally interrupting you, man. I'm sorry. So I'll pause here and I'll let you continue. I started to rant here and I was getting all sweaty and hot and bothered and getting
Oh
irritable
boy,
and
I like
yeah.
that.
So anyways, continue with your thoughts on, the surface mount stuff versus the through-hole stuff.
So okay, anyway, yeah, it's like I was kind of going with. I love all the old way of doing things just because it's so cool. Because as guitar players, everything older is cooler somehow.
It has magic in it. There's
Right, mentally. I mean, I know that it's not, but like, vintage guitars hold a special place to me, even though there's many custom builders these days doing things way far and above what, you know, the old vintage stuff was.
There was reasons for that too, though. I mean, like, even if, like, and I keep interrupting you, so just get used to me interrupting you.
Okay.
So, like, wood, for example, we grow trees differently. We used to take trees that were already grown naturally, and we'd cut them down, and we'd make guitars out of them. Now we hurry up and we grow them, and we try to make them, you know, just big enough to make a guitar out of, and then we make the guitar. Mm-hmm. And it's a different wood. It's a heavier wood. It's even if it's the same type of wood, it's different. It sounds different. It resonates different. It's just different.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how I'm going to tie this back in with service mount, but I agree with you. I've talked with, you know, luthiers before, and while I am not one, I once heard a guy say some pieces of wood want to be a guitar. The tree, when it was planted, it grew up and it wanted to be a guitar when it got older, and it sounds great because that's what it was grown up to do.
Yep.
Some trees really, really wanted to be a park bench, but they got made into a guitar, and therefore they're just not that great.
That's a good. That's a great way to put it, man.
I can't remember who told me that.
Whoever told you that was a genius. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. So I mean, that's kind of how I've always operated when I'm picking out guitars. It's part of the reason I've only ever bought one guitar that I've not played before I bought it, and it was just because it was a Roni, and I knew that it was going to be fantastic, so I wasn't worried about it.
It was a Roni?
Yeah.
Is that like macaroni? Because I love macaroni and cheese.
So you really like macaroni and cheese, right? So picture a bowl of like Kraft macaroni and cheese, right? It's satisfying. It does the job. You know, it's fairly good tasting.
Does
that's
it?
Your that's your American telly, say.
Right.
Let's just throw
your American telly built in this year,
yes.
Or you know, within the past couple of years. Okay.
Right. Right. So a Roni or some other guys of that caliber, I would say this is like the gourmet mac and cheese that I get at a local brewery that is made with like one of their seasonal ales and fresh local ingredients.
Oh.
That is what like a Roni would be.
My stomach is growling right now just with the thought of that.
Well, it's probably similar, like, to tie it back together with like guitars that you're familiar with. Like, I don't know if you've played any of Paul's stuff or not, but I'm sure you can relate it back into like you've played like Don Grosch stuff and some other guys, right? So
when you say Paul, you mean Paul Reed, Paul Reed Smith?
No, Paul Roney, who I was speaking.
I haven't played. No,
Yeah,
You said Paul. I assumed you meant Paul Reed Smith. Sorry.
Well, he's slightly more famous.
I don't know Paul Roney. I'm sorry.
Well, you should get to know him. He's a good dude.
I would love to.
He makes great instruments. And he has a podcast.
So he does. What's this podcast? Another gear podcast. What's this one?
I forgot about that one. I listen to it all the time. The Luthierist podcast. It's very focused. Yeah, focused on guitar building. But it's
the
Luthier.
Okay, so
the Luthierist.
Check out the Luthierist podcast. Because I haven't heard it, but obviously this guy knows what he's talking about. So
yeah, and he's funny, and him and his various co-hosts. Well, lots of guys. Like it's kind of a rotating cast of characters that host the show.
I gotta write that. I'm gonna write that. I can't write. I have nowhere to write this down.
I'll text you.
Yeah. I'm gonna check this out because I haven't even heard of this guy or the podcast. I mean.
Oh, so. Man, yeah, you got to check out both his podcast and his work. And then he, you know, Doug Cower's on there sometimes from Cower Guitars. And then Sully from Sully Guitars, who's a smaller builder that I'm not sure if you're familiar with, but he's hilarious and he's on the show all the time too. So definitely investigate that. Where was I going before we started talking about that? I forgot.
Well. We were talking about. Sorry, I was typing a text message whilst I was talking. We were talking about service mount stuff and how.
Oh, that's right.
We were talking about service mount stuff and how all the Wampler products are pretty much awesome. No, I'm teasing. I'm totally teasing. Yeah, we're talking about surface mount products and surface mount technology versus through-hole technology
Oh,
and all sorts.
yeah. I know how we got spun off of that. So I already made my statements about how I think through hole's awesome. Surface mount. Some of my favorite pedals in recent years are all surface mount. So, and that's totally based on sound. And I think surface mount is a fantastic thing that will allow pedal builders to do things that were never possible before. I also think, actually, I was listening to, there we go, another podcast. I was listening to Josh Scott's 20 Questions podcast
Yes,
with John Cusack.
I'm subscribed to that as well. Yep.
There you go.
I was on
And
that. I was actually on the 20 Questions podcast.
you were, that's right. I listened to that.
Yep.
I forgot.
It was probably terrible because everybody, like, he kept asking me questions and I was just being goofy. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think about life that deep, dude. I wake up in the morning and I put on my shoes and I'm like, I think I'm gonna go breadboard for a little bit. You know what I mean? It's like I live life one day at a time, and that's just how I prefer to do it, man. I don't sweat about stuff. I try to enjoy life because it's gone before you know it.
You just do your thing.
I do it. Yep.
Yep. And where I was going with that
Sorry.
is
Look, a squirrel.
I'm going to get this. I'm going to keep this show on topic. It is the death of me. I won't do it with my own show, but I will do it with this one.
I will prove a point.
No, I just thought that John Husak made a really interesting point for surface mount. I don't really know why we have to defend it, but I feel like we have to defend it for some reason. That it's, you can correct me if I'm wrong or if you disagree with him, but seems less prone to failure.
Very much so. Very much
And
so.
that some of that is to do with like simple physics. Like it's a smaller part. It doesn't have as much inertia. You throw a well-made surface mount pedal across the room into a wall and do the same thing with a through hole of similar quality. Just by the nature of components being slightly heavier, his money is on the surface mount taking the beating better, and that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I can tell you, that's not part of our test procedures. We don't take circuit boards and throw them against the walls and see if they still work. So I can't vouch for that one. It could be possible, but John is a man of the maths, and
Right.
I'm the guy that barely graduated high school and wouldn't have done so had I not taken the extra PE class in my senior year.
Right.
So, with that said, yeah, I'm the guy that just like breadboard stuff all day long, like, oh, that's awesome. That's cool. Let's do something with that, you know?
Right.
But yeah, so John would know way more about that stuff than I would for sure. Definitely. But I can tell you, like, let's take part for part. Let's talk about an op amp or a JFET or something simple like that, right? When you really like when you when you're Let me think of this most simple way to put this. So if you're breadboarding something or if you're designing something and you want to get the exact same sound, those two parts are exactly alike. And I say exactly incorrectly like that for a reason. I don't know what the reason
Okay.
is, but I do.
Like
So
Warsh.
like wash, yeah,
Yes.
exactly. Yeah. So they're exactly alike. There's no difference internally in them besides like smaller stuff, but like they don't feel different, they don't sound different. What does change more than anything? Done this test a million times. Layout makes and breaks a pedal. Totally. Bad layout can make a pedal noisy, sound like crap, respond like crap. There's all different things going on that I really don't want to get in because I don't like to get down at that nerdy of a level, but it
Kind of
makes
wish
them.
you would, to be honest, but
It's
hey.
just not me. No, I mean, that's I don't like that level of nerdosity. You know what I mean? I'm not into that. I'm really not. Like I'm the guy that, I want to design something. I want it to be good, and I want to go jam on it. You know, I don't want to talk about the physics of why this JFET at this. Or this op amp at this slew rate is doing this mathematically compared to this op. I don't care. I care what it sounds like, I care what it feels like, and I care how it translates to the overall guitar tone. So
Right.
it's a different picture. It's a different picture altogether.
Right.
I don't use calculators when I design stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Well, I take that back to a point. So if I need a filter of some sort, I'm using a program called Spice, which you can, it does the math for you, but you can kind of be like, oh, okay, so that's, that's 720 hertz or whatever.
Right.
So, but I mean, I do that, but I'm not just, I'm not a big fan of designing by math. I'm not a big fan of it. And I think you
It
could.
seems like you would like not stumble across certain things that you would probably stumble across if you just kind of went for it.
That's the thing, man. Like when you're just messing around with stuff and just trying different things, it's kind of like writing a song. Like, do you really want to write a song in a paint by numbers way, or do you just want to jam and come up with a great song because you got a great drummer behind you and a bass player's grooving with the drummer and you're into it and you're feeling it? It's that same sort of thing, just using a breadboard.
No, I totally get it, and I mean, I respect guys that can do the numbers thing, but that's totally not me. So I understand where you're coming from with it. But it was like while you were talking about that, this thing was going off in my brain that I seen the other day, and I don't remember where it was. But there was an electrical engineer, like a professor, and I think this may have been posted on Facebook or something. But and he was ripping apart. He was saying, one of my students brought in this Death by Audio pedal. And I looked at the design of that and I thought, how dumb that thing is. It's the most idiotic electrical design I've ever seen. I mean, they have the op amps in backwards. Like, it was so stupid. And he was like ranting about how dumb the pedal was. And then some guitar player was like, well, yeah, but it sounds rad. So, I mean, like, he's like, it's a noisy, glitchy, disaster machine, whatever. I don't even remember which model it was, but I'm like, yeah, sometimes that's the goal. So shut your mouth, boy.
Well,
I mean, I don't know.
no, that's exactly true. I mean, it's we're not trying to create something that's going to win a contest somewhere. We're trying to create something that's going to inspire someone to write something and play something and record something that's going to inspire a mass of people to feel an emotion of some point. You know what I mean? So with that said, I mean, like, the math is all good and great and stuff, but I'm just like personally, I'm not into it. I can't find it right now, but someone asked me earlier, the most like the most detailed of detailed questions about effects building stuff. And my response was like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
What you're asking does not matter because you're looking at things the wrong way. You know,
Interesting.
don't worry if it affects 18,000 hertz versus 17,900 hertz. Don't worry about that. That's math. Play the stinking thing, see if you like it. You know, build it, see if you like it.
Yeah, don't worry about is it electronically, I mean, things have to be correct to some level. It's just kind of like
Right. I mean,
the song needs to be in time to a degree.
right. I mean, you're not going to build a car with square wheels. It's not going to work. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, there's certain things you have to do to make, there's good practices, like I said, layouts, everything. That is an art and a science in itself.
Which is fascinating to me because that's not something I ever thought about until you mentioned it on episode way back, and I was like, wait a second. You can't just breadboard something and then draw the schematic out and then make the pet. What? The layout changes the sound? Like, my brain exploded when I found that out. And now it makes so much sense.
You breadboard something, it sounds one way, you lay it out, and then the pedal gets built, and then you get it back in your hands and you compare it to the breadboard version. You're like, okay, they sound different, they always do. How can I get this to sound like the breadboard? What do I need to change to make the finished pedal sound like the breadboard?
Is it one of those things, I mean, it's on a case by case basis, I'm sure, but like, so say you got something all breadboarded out and you got wires going everywhere, right?
Right.
And you get it, you know, relatively quiet as you can get it in that format. Is it something that you've ran into before where you do your layout, you get your prototype back, and you're comparing it to the breadboard? Do you like sometimes have to do things to the prototype that are probably, from an engineering standpoint, a bad idea? Like, I'm going to make this trace, you know, 2 millimeters longer because I think it might help, you know, the sound in this to get it more like the breadboard. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know. I know, like, a lot of amp circles, they might, you know, they might make the wire longer and they route it this way because it's going to create parasitic capacitance and all this other stupid stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But I mean, what I have done before is scrapped entire ideas because it just wasn't working. I just couldn't get it to sound like I was wanting it to sound.
Right.
You know.
That's not a pleasant feeling.
It can't no, be. But I mean, but it's the same way that, like, you know, the band goes in the studio and they got this great song that sounded great whenever they're rehearsing it. They put it on record, or on record. Jeez, I'm old. They you know, they record it, and it's just like there's a vibe missing from it. And like, now that it's not like live and impromptu and like off the cuff, like it's missing that. It doesn't have that thing. You know what I mean? It doesn't have that magic to it now. And sometimes those songs don't ever get recorded because it was just a jam and it can't be duplicated at that point.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That is a good analogy. I think the creative process in pedal building or gear creating in general, whatever field of study, quote unquote, you're in, building guitars or whatever, I think the analogy to a band really, really is relatable much of the time. Mm-hmm. Because it's a creative process.
It is totally a creative process. I'm not going to name names, but there are companies out there that literally just design by the calculator, you know? And,
yep.
And I'm sure if you've played let's say a distortion pedal made by a certain company that's overseas and you thought it sucked like crazy, it's because on paper it looked great, but to the player it wasn't so great. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so, yeah, that's my thought on it.
Yeah.
So guess what, dude? We are at 30 minutes.
Huh. See? This is what I mean. I feel like we're just getting warmed up. I could riff on this all day.
Well, you know what? Let's do this. So okay. I'm going to leave this to the listeners of this podcast. If you guys want to hear Blake more, if you want to hear us continue some conversations like this, then make sure you shoot an email to podcast@wamplerpedals.com, or you can post on our Facebook pages, or Instagram pages, or Twitter, or Snapchat. What's your Snapchat, Blake?
The Tone Mob.
And mine is Brian Wampler. And let us know, man. We want to do this stuff for you. We want to bring you guys value, things that you want to hear, that you want to learn about. So let us know. And, I'd be glad to have you back on the show, anytime, Blake, anytime. I always enjoy our conversations, man.
I likewise, Brian, I really, really, really get a kick out of this. And like, I do this on my own show a lot too. I'm sorry. I'll try to wrap this thought up, but
no,
I get going. I get excited. Good. Like I feel like a little kid sometimes. I'm so into it, probably more so than a grown man should be. And I'm just like, oh man, I just get so excited talking about this stuff. And whenever we talk, it just kind of ignites that little fire in me. And I feel like a giddy little kid. So.
At Christmas.
Yes.
All right. Well, I appreciate everyone listening to it. Like I said, if you have any questions, please email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. Make sure you leave an iTunes review if you haven't done yet. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for talking to me this week, Blake.
Yep. Talk to you next time.
All right.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.